Well, first of all, let's look at this party starting and get some enthusiasm. This is a great day to be a veteran. And this is a great day to live and to serve in this nation. And it's a great day to live in this state and in this community. It doesn't get much better than this. And welcome to the Clarksville, Montgomery County Veterans Day Parade. And I cannot tell you how humble I am to have been asked to be the Grand Marshal. This is very, very humbling for me. I can also tell you that just how nervous I am about stumbling over my words this morning, so please bear with me. As a veteran, I am standing on the shoulders of men and women who have served before me, from the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Grenada, Somalia, Iraq, and Afghanistan. We are standing on the shoulders of men like the 20th Armored Division who helped build Camp Campbell, and they are here with us today. Please give a round of applause for the 20th Armored Division. And I am standing on the shoulders of women like the women Air Force Service Pilots, or WASP, the men and women who did not come home, the men and women who are still fighting the battle, both abroad and at home. We are standing on some very, very strong shoulders, and we will never forget the freedom and the opportunities that they have given us. Ladies and gentlemen, these are my brothers, and these are my sisters. Not all of us can be members of elite units like SEAL Team 6 or the 5th Special Forces, but all of us who have served, regardless of branch of service, regardless of era served, or the MOS that we held, we are all heroes. We raised our right hand and we swore to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. We wrote this blank check. And as a woman veteran, I am standing on the shoulders of women like Nannie Ruth Barnes, who joined the Women's Army Corps in 1944 out of Nashville, Tennessee. She served as a medic in Charleston, South Carolina. Eleanor Volk, who joined the Waves in 1942 and served as a Link instructor and as an instructor instrument flight to the male pilots that were coming into World War II. Cornelia Ford, out of Nashville, Tennessee, who became one of the WASP, and she died on March 21st, 1943, and was the first American woman to die on active duty service. Elizabeth Jared Becker, U.S. Marine Corps, joined in 1944 and served at Paris Island. During World War II, nearly 350,000 American women served, both at home and abroad. George C. Marshall, at the urging of First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt, and being impressed with the service of the women in the British military, supported the idea of introducing a women's service branch in the Army. The congressional debate that preceded their authorization was also addressed the appropriateness of allowing women to exercise their rights and responsibilities as American citizens. In 1942, Congress instituted the Women's Auxiliary Army Corps, later upgraded to the Women's Army Corps, which had full military status. The WACs worked in more than 200 non-combatant jobs stateside and in every theater of the war. By 1945, there were more than 1,000 WACs and 6,000 female officers. In the Navy, members of the Women Accepted for Volunteer Emergency Service, or the WAVES, held the same status as Naval Reservists and provided support stateside. The Coast Guard, Women's Reserve, or SPARs, and the Marine Corps Women's Reserve soon followed suit. One of the lesser known roles that women played in the war effort was provided by Women's Air Force Service Pilots, or WASP. These women, each of whom had already obtained their pilot's license prior to the service, became the first women to fly American military aircraft. They ferried planes from the bases transporting cargo, participating in simulation strafing and target missions, accumulating more than 60 million miles in flight distances, and freeing thousands of male U.S. pilots for active duty in World War II. More than 1,000 WASPs served, 38 of them lost their lives during the war. Considered to be civil service employees and without official military status, these fallen WASPs were granted no military honors or benefits. It wasn't until 1977 that the WASP received full military status. The women in uniform took office clerical jobs in order to free men to fight. They drove trucks, repaired planes, worked as lab technicians, rigged parachutes, served as radio operators, analyzed photographs, flew military aircraft across the country, test flew newly repaired planes. They even trained anti-aircraft gunners by acting as flying targets. And I'm here to tell you, not in my lifetime. I am not going to be somebody's moving target if I can help it. Some women served near the front lines in the Army Nurse Corps because 16 were killed as a result of direct enemy fire. 68 American servicewomen were captured as POWs in the Philippines. More than 1,600 nurses were decorated for bravery under fire and meritorious service. 565 WACs in the Pacific Theater won combat decorations. And then the war ended. So now what? I have been asked many times what it's like to be a woman veteran. What I can tell you is I don't know what it's like to be a male veteran. I didn't get that part. I can tell you that a veteran is not only the description of what I am, it is also a description of what I feel. I can tell you that I sometimes feel invisible, and I have to fight to be recognized as a veteran. I sometimes feel lost, out of place. I can tell you that I am proud of my service and proud to continue to serve in whatever capacity God would have me serve. And I now believe that my mission is to serve those who have served, those who are serving, to ensure that they receive the care, the benefits, and the respect that they have earned. I know that I have brother and sister veterans who are still fighting the battle, even though they are home. I also know many of us did not feel at home when we returned. We felt lost and out of place. For way too many of my brothers and sisters, they carry wounds of the soul. And there's a quote from the Vietnam Veterans of America that I think is extremely important for all of us to keep in mind. Never again will one generation of veterans abandon another. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what I think we need to live by. Nobody can take care of a veteran better than another veteran. And may no soldier go unloved. May no soldier walk alone. May no soldier be forgotten. And may no soldier be left behind when they return home. Thank you all very much. May God bless you all, and may God bless America.